We are here because, not because we're so pretty, not because we got so much money, not because we're so well pleasing to God, but simply because God seen fit to leave us here. Our day shall come one day when we won't be able to be here. That's why it's so important that everybody attends church on a regular basis, because you never know when that will be the last time you attend church. We need to serve God each and every day and each and every week, each and every hour of every day, each and every month of every year, and each and every year. It's once again, it's Sunday morning, and we need to be considerate of God's goodness toward us. Give me a moment here. When we look at the text that was read for your hearing in 2 Corinthians 2nd chapter, verses 3 through 8, I believe it was. Let us reread it again. And I wrote this very thing, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those whom I ought to have joy. Eight through 11, that's why I'm confused here. Thank you. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that once for your sake, in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, I read a couple of extra verses there, but that's okay. Let us go to God in prayer, if you will. O Lord, our God, our Heavenly Father, we are blessed of all the blessings of all the things that you have done for us, from the earliest of our existence down to this present moment. I thank you, Father, for blessing us and being with us, bringing us to this point today in our lives. Lord, you are so good to us, and you don't ask for much back, but some of us seem to have a problem giving back what you ask of us. Father, I thank you this morning for each and every member that's here in the house. I thank you for those who are visiting with us who are also in the house this morning. I thank you, Father, for each and every member and their family members. Thank you, God, and I pray for the sick and the shut-in this morning. I pray for those who are here but are not doing so well, but simply because of your goodness you allow them to be here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much, Father. And now, my Heavenly Father, I pray for those who are traveling today and are not able to be with us. I pray for their safe passage to and from their destination and return again once again unto us. I pray for those who are behind prison bars this morning. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you bless them and give them the wisdom and the knowledge to seek you in their lives. I thank you, Father, for being just the God that you are this morning. I thank you because you are the God to all. You are the God to the helpless and the hopeless. You are the God to the well-being, and we are thankful for that, O Lord. We are so thankful that you blessed us once again to allow us to be able to come out to share another portion of your holy and divine word. This morning, Father, as we approach thy throne of mercy and grace, We're just so privileged to be here. And I thank you for all the brothers who have taken part in the services thus far. I pray for those who shall come from this point on. Thank you, Lord. Father, when we have walked our last mile and you have given us all that you have to give unto us on this earth, I ask you, Father, to give us a home with thee. And thank you, O Lord, for Jesus Christ. In your Son Jesus' name I pray. Amen. This morning's subject is be aware of Satan's snares. Satan is always looking for an opening in our lives so that he may enter into us and gain an advantage over us. He must live by that old adage, I believe, when people used to say, give him an inch and he'll take a mile. But the truth is, if you give him an inch, he'll become a ruler over us. So how does a Christian keep the devil at bay? Well, I'll tell you how. By studying God's word, being faithful and obedient to God, and doing his will. Now this morning we're going to look at a few things. I promise I won't be too long. I've got a good while left, so I can make that promise right now. We've got to learn not to doubt God's word. The Bible has given unto us fair warnings in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. It tells us, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that of sin be revealed the son of perdition. Well, that day the Bible speaks of is very near for men. For men are lovers of themselves, and there's a falling away from God today. Men have turned to their own rules and pushed God to the side. The falling away means that at one time we had the truth, but now some of them have left that truth behind. I want you to watch 2 Peter chapter 3, verses number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts. Men have come to distrust the word of God and have made their own rules, saying things like, you don't have to go to church to serve God. You can stay at home and serve him. That's what some say. But I guess they forgot Hebrews 10 and verse number 25, where it says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. How can I come together with my brothers and sisters when I'm at home? How can I edify or exhort one another when I'm at home? How can I let you know whether I'm troubled or not when I'm at home? So I think we put a few holes in that theory about you can serve God and worship God at home. You can serve him, but you can't worship him at home. Do you remember how that Eve allowed Satan into her life in Genesis chapter 3 by simply distrusting the word God had already told her and Adam to do? Satan did. He simply cast the shadow of doubt in her mind. God have already said, you shall not eat. Told her and Adam, you shall not eat of the tree in the midst of the garden, or you surely shall die. Satan told her, you shall not surely die. I just want to say we need to believe in God's word and know the truth. Confirm your love toward the Lord by saying in his will, to do his will, and hold on to your faith. No matter how good man makes it sound, If it's not in God's word, we ought to leave it alone. We ought to leave it alone. Now, the one thing that I caution church members on, you don't want to become a backslider. We can learn a great lesson from the Old Testament story of Lot if we just read into it. And I want you to go over with me to Genesis, if you will. Genesis 13. We're going to just pick some scriptures out of Genesis 13. We're going to start with verse number 7, I believe. No, verse number 10. Verse number 10 says, "And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere." It was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, that was. Like the garden of the Lord, the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Now I want you to see something here now. I don't believe, this is my opinion, now I don't believe that Lot intended to drift away from God as soon as he did. But he did. There were some things that he did. There were some steps that he did. And he's like us today. We go through changes. Now, let me just say this. Whenever changes you're going through, that you might be going through, I want you to notice something. God is able to move those steps out of your way so that you don't fall victim to Satan. If you just ask him. Well, what happened with Lot? Watch Lot's downfall. Number one, in Genesis 13 and verse number 7, if you look at that with me. "And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land." Now, strife, he could not get along with others, in other words. And strife can cause a disruption in the church. You've got to be careful, because strife is a dangerous thing. If you can't get along with somebody in the church, you need to go to them and just sit down and talk with them and just to figure out where you're going and where you're at. But strife can cause many problems in the church. Not only was there strife, but look at verse number 10 of Genesis 13. I just read to you 10, by the way, and I should have been reading 7. But verse 10, there was some lust involved. Things always seem better on the other side of the fence. Do you know that some think like that? But James warns us of lust in James 1, 14 and 15. "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin." All men are capable of falling into Satan's snares. We had better be careful what we lust after, for the next step could be sin. Then Lot pitched his tent in verse number 12, indicating he planned on being there a while. And then Lot, in verse number 12, became one of the inhabitants of Sodom. Notice, if you will, how that Satan can wear one down and cause a God-fearing person to become as one of the locals. According to verse number 13, Lot moved to Sodom. Look at verse number 13, if you will. "But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. and Lot had moved there, decided to move there. A Christian must be careful and prayerfully watch out, for before you know it, you can become a part of the local crowd and cause you to backslide away from God. No matter where one dwells at, we must learn to keep ourselves, as James tells us in James 1, 26 and 27. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridle not his tongue, he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion is vain. In other words, we are not to call ourselves religious in order to become a, hey, look at me kind of a person. Religion is real and therefore should be a serious matter. We need to heed James 1 and 27 as well, where it tells us, keep ourselves unspotted from the world. Now, there's a downside to falling away from God. Not only have you backslidden, but you also, there's a cost that's very high for us to pay. Our text reminds us of the word of Paul again. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him in verse number 8. We need to commit our love to Christ on a daily basis. Let him know that your love for him is ongoing and that you need him in order to keep Satan out of your life. For if he, that is Satan, gets into us, the cost can become far greater than we can bear. We can lose our walk with God, because the Bible tells us in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all your wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Once Satan gets hold of you, we no longer have Christ dwelling in us. We may lose our ability to have our prayers answered. We may even stop praying altogether, because Satan will tell you it's not necessary to pray anymore. He will tell you that he has everything you need in order to survive. But that's a lie. He doesn't have the love of God in him. When we lose the word of God in our hearts, we stop waiting on the Lord. We want things quick, fast, and in a hurry. We forget the Bible tells us to wait. I say wait upon the Lord. Satan has many snares to cause one to doubt the word of God. Did he not try to use them on Jesus in chapter 4 of Matthew, tempting Jesus because he was hungry? You know, they say that the way to a man's heart is through his stomach. And some of us, it shows on us. We'd rather eat than serve the Lord. He tempted Jesus because he was hungry. You know he will use anything in his trick bags to snare us. It did not work on Jesus. But if we are not careful, they may work on us. Jesus told him that man shall live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. The Bible, in other words. So brothers and sisters, we need to be careful we don't lose our faith and trust in the Lord because of the old tempter. Just keep on waiting on the Lord, for he shall return. And if you don't believe it, look at Matthew 24 and verse number 44, where the Bible says, Jesus said, for us to be ye also ready, for he shall come in such a hour that ye think not. And then in verse number 25 of that same chapter 24, he said, we know not the day nor the hour when the Son of Man shall come. We must stay ready because he is surely coming, and we must surely die. And after death, we must surely face the judgment. So I need to ask a question of you this morning. Are you trusting in him, or will you believe in the snares of Satan? Will you believe Jesus, who told us he shall come again, or will you allow Satan to tell you that he shall not come again and we shall not surely die? Or will you believe in those who tell us there is no heaven or hell for us to go to, falling for Satan's trick and leave a high price for us to pay? So look back with me once again in Genesis chapter 13 and starting with verse number 7 again. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanite and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. Verse number 8, so Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. That's why it pays sometimes to have a cooler head in the house, somebody who can kind of smooth things over. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. Or if you take the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw the plain of Jordan, for it was well, it was well watered everywhere. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. Now, sometimes, and I'm not accusing anyone here of anything, so before anybody say anything that he must have been talking to me, well, can't help it if you're guilty of it. Sometimes when we look at things, we can't see beyond what we think is there. We don't see what's really there. We go by what we think is there. Well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying you've got to see the big picture before you make a decision and to jump into something. Then, in verse number, where did I leave off at? Verse number 11, then Lot chose for himself all the path of Jordan, the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they were separated from each other. Now go over with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, and look at verse number 8 again. Therefore I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also write that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. I want you to notice this part. Lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We got to learn not to be ignorant of Satan's devices, church. Satan can dangle a carrot in front of you. Isn't that the old saying? Watch out for that carrot that's being dangled in front of you. Well, Satan can dangle a carrot in front of you. And unfortunately, many of us will fall for that carrot. We'll fall for that carrot because the carrot looks good to us. But it may not be good for you. As I told you many times before, men and women suffer at the hands of one another. Because one wants to be in charge of everything, but the Bible teaches us that the man is the head of the woman. Now, I'm not going to talk about marriage this morning. I could. But I'm going to talk about simply something that I want you to see as being truthful. Now, I told you this before, but I'm going to tell it to you again, especially to the men. When that woman asks you, how good do I look? Do I look good this morning? You tell her, yes, you look good. Because you don't want her to bounce back on you and say, well, you don't look so good yourself. Now, you know, it takes two. The old saying says, two to tango. Well, since we're not dancing here, we're not going to speak of tango. We're just going to say it takes two to create an argument. Now, I can't argue by myself. I can stand up in the mirror and argue with myself in the mirror. But when it comes to life, life is reality. And I can't argue with myself. So if she asks you, does this dress make me look fat? You try to think of a way to answer around that. I'm telling you now. You're going to go around that. Well, it's you, baby. Let her know that you're not saying that she doesn't look good, but let her know at the same time, I'm not going to answer that. Now, when it comes to serving the Lord, you can't play a game like that. You got to be real, so you don't want to be somebody who, well, I know my next door neighbor is religious because he looks like it. But does he know the whole upside of it and the downside of it? You can't play religious. You've got to be religious. You can't play with God and expect to survive. God has been playing longer than we have, and he knows what to look for, and he knows who we are already anyway. So beware of the devil's snares. Well, what kind of snares does the devil have? Well, I'll tell you. Let me see if I got enough time. Yeah, I do. Thank you, Brother Hill. Let me tell you something about the devil. He will make you think that today is 80 degrees outside when it's really 50 degrees. He can make you believe that you have the world by the tail. When you don't even own the place you stay in. He can make you think that you are the best thing since sliced bread. He'll do all of this simply to get you over on his side and to get into you. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying this. We've got to be aware of the snares of the devil. What are the snares of the devil? Well, any kind of trickery to make you forget the word of God. Anything that'll make you think that God is not right and I'm right. That's what his job is. Now, when it comes to religion, we've got to remember one thing. If you're in a religion that's not found in God's word, if you're in a church, I should say, that's not found in God's word, you're in the wrong church. If you're in a church that's not found in the word of God, you're in the wrong church. Well, why would you say that, preacher? Well, because there's only one church found in the word of God. In the New Testament, there's but one church, and that's the church of Christ. Now, I know there's a spot in Acts where it says the church of God in Christ, but I'm going to explain that to you again. Who died for the church? Christ. Who shed his blood for the church? If Christ shed his blood, doesn't it make sense that it ought to be the church of Christ? Now, that's a simple analogy. That's plain and truthful. It's the church of Christ. And why do you bring up the church of Christ, preacher? Well, I'm simply saying I'm trying to help you to understand that there's but one church. And if it's not called the Church of Christ, then it's not the right church. And if it's not the right church, then you are in the wrong religion. If it's not the right church, you're not in the right pathway to go to heaven. That's plain as I can put it. And if you're not in the path to go to heaven, what path are you on? All right, and you know the answer to that. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying, if I meet you on the street, and you say to me, well, tell me something about your church, and I start to explain the Church of Christ to you, don't get mad at me because it doesn't fit your description of your church. Your church must be found in the Word of God. If it's not, then it's not the church you ought to be in. Now, I went through this many years ago with my grandmother. And you know, as you get older, and I'm not talking about old folks in the church here now, I'm not talking about you. But when you get older, it gets harder to change your mind about things. I can't come up and tell you you ought to be in the other church I can't come up and tell you you ought to be in the Church of Christ when you're in that other church. And you've been there and you tell me, I've been there since my mother was living. Well, I'm sorry. It was the wrong one that your mother was in too. Now, I can show you by the words of the Bible that the Church of Christ is the right church. What Christ said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, does your church make that same claim? I don't think so, because Christ only built one church. One church. One Lord, one faith, one church. Right, thank you, Brother Lowe, one baptism, but one church. Now, what are you saying again, preacher? I'm simply saying, if you're about to take a journey, and I know people don't use road maps anymore, but if you would sit down and map out your way you're supposed to go, and you study that for a few minutes till you get it locked in your mind, but not today, people just use their GPS. And I might as well tell you, GPS will get you lost sometime too. So don't put too much faith and confidence in the GPS system in your car or in your phone. So when you sit down and you map out this route on the way that you're supposed to go, now if you don't follow that, where are you going? Will you make it to your destination? Yes, but in a roundabout way. So what are you saying? I'm simply saying this. If you're going on the wrong road, you need to change and go on the right road. And if you get on the right road, you'll be going the right way. And if you're going the right way, you'll get to the right place. And that's all I'm saying. If you want to get to heaven, which we all, that's why we're all here this morning. Is it not? Because we want to get to heaven. And the Bible is the instruction manual or the road map to get us to heaven. And if we don't want to follow the Bible, then that means we don't want to get there. That makes logical sense, doesn't it? The Bible is the book of instructions and directions. And if we are to follow it and have the right direction, we must follow it. If we're going to follow the Bible, we must follow all of the Bible. And sometimes people like to pull out certain, they'll go to the book and they'll say, I'm going to pull out a certain scripture. And I'm going to use this scripture for everything. And you can't. The Bible explains itself. And therefore, I believe in the Word of God. I believe strongly in the Word of God. Just like I was talking to you for a few minutes there about the snares, be aware of the snares of Satan. You need to be aware that when man puts out a book and he says it's better than the Bible, you ought to run from that book right away. You ought to start running and don't stop until you can't see it anymore. Because nobody can rewrite the Bible. They can interpret the Bible, reinterpret the Bible, but they can't rewrite the Bible. And be careful on those interpretive versions of the Bible. Some of them have you believing the Bible said one thing, and it actually did not say what they say it said. So you got to be careful on what you're reading when you're reading the Bible. Or reading the interpretive versions of the Bible. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying the only genuine Word of God is the Word of God. God is the authority on God, and God is the authority in God, and God is the authority of God. So be aware of Satan's snares. Now, I was a little backwards when I started off, but I'm not backwards anymore. I had to get my mind focused again this morning. Refocused, I should say. But I'm not refocusing now. I know where I'm at now. I'm in the household of faith, the church of the living God. I'm in the church that Christ built. I know where I'm at. And you ought to know where you're at. And if you're somewhere where you can't describe it and it can't be found in the pages of the book of God, then you need to be careful where you're at. You need to change where you're at. So then, doesn't the Bible say faith come by hearing and hearing by the word of God? If you got faith in the God, in God, you ought to have faith in his word. You ought to have faith in God's word, because God's word is God's word. Now, what else do I want to tell you this morning? I want to simply tell you, be careful on listening to men. Yes, sir. Be careful, very careful. Because there's somebody out there who's got in mind of writing a book right now. I don't mean necessarily in here, because somebody in here might be thinking about writing a book. I'm not talking about you. But somebody is studying up a way to make some money off of us right now. Market Street is always concentrating on how to get you separated from your wallet. And they'll tell you that whatever it is they think you want to hear in order to separate you from that dollar. And when they can separate you from your dollar, it goes from your pocket to their pocket. That's what they're seeking to find to do. So what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying be careful of the snares of Satan. Because everybody that writes a book doesn't know what they're talking about. Everybody, can you imagine? I like to use this example. Let me see, how do I put it? A columnist who writes about how to raise your children, but he or she doesn't have any children. A columnist that tells you how to save your marriage when your marriage is on the rocks, but they've never been married. A columnist who will write a story, a column about making money when they don't have a dime. So be careful, because Satan has his snares out there. He's waiting to claim you. Just stick with the Bible, the Word of God. Follow the Word of God. Do the will of what God tells you to do in his Word, and you'll be all right. No man can make that statement, because man doesn't have a guaranteed place to put you. God has a guaranteed place to put us. And the thing of it is which place do you want to go to? You want to go to the one that's flowing with milk and honey? The land that's flowing with milk and honey? Or do you want to go to the place that's burning with everlasting fire? You make the choice. How do I get there, preacher? Well, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized into the Word of God, into Jesus Christ. And I know what somebody might say. Well, I was baptized years ago, but I've been walking astray. Well, you can come back. As long as you got breath in your body, you can still come back. You ask God to forgive you and ask the church to pray for you and with you. Then you stay obedient to the Word of God. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.